Welcome to the No BS Spiritual Book Club's live streaming interview series, where leading New Thought teachers, speakers, and authors share the intimate stories behind the 10 best spiritual books that inspired them the most on their spiritual journey. From well-known classics to hidden gems you might never have heard of, the No BS Spiritual Book Club saves you time and money by sharing reliable recommendations from those who've walked the path before you. The No BS Spiritual Book Club, the only No BS guide to the best spiritual books to inspire your own journey of self-discovery. Here's your host, founder of the No BS Spiritual Book Club, Sandy Sedgebeer.
Hello and welcome. Joining me today to share the 10 best spiritual books that inspired her life journey is Judy Carroll. Judy identifies as a blended soul whose conscious awareness spans two planetary connections, both Earth Human and Zeta Grey. The author of 5 books in the Zeta series, Judy's mission, along with other blended souls that are here, is to be an interplanetary ambassador, introducing more clarity and deeper understanding of what has happened here in the past, offering understanding of present time global events, and providing guidance on how to heal our future as a planetary civilization. Judy Carroll, welcome.
Thanks very much, Sandy. It's lovely to be here and I'm looking forward to talking to you.
So let me just check this. Is it Zeta or Zeta?
It depends on which country you live in. In Australia, it's Zeta. In America, it's Zeta. Hence, I use both.
Well, since I'm English, I'll use Zeta. Because that's what we would say.
Yeah. I use both in the same sentence sometimes.
So you've had ongoing contact with the ETs, known as the Greys or Zetas, all your life.
Yes, I have, Sandy. Right from when I was very, very young, my first experience I remember was being taken onto a ship by a very tall woman who I looked on upon as my grandmother, but it wasn't my real life grandmother. I didn't realise at the time. I thought that she was taking me onto a train, and it was quite a few years later that I realised I'd actually been taken up onto a ship. So that was my first experience.
Was that an easy experience for you, or was
Yes. At that time, I didn't have very much memory of my experiences. What I did remember, I was actually getting quite a lot of fear, but I had chosen this on purpose because I knew from the pre-birth planning of this life, I knew that I was going to help others who were having fear in connection with ET contact. And so I decided to experience it myself as a child so that I'd understand completely where they're coming from. But this particular experience, because I had no conscious recall of actually being taken on a ship, I thought I was being taken on a train. And so, no, there was no fear involved. I loved it. And I had a memory of something really exciting happening. And afterwards, I asked my real-life grandmother several times, oh, will you take me back on the train? And of course, she had no idea what I was talking about. Oh, you must have been just dreaming. And it took me a few years to be able to get my head around. It's almost like you've got two brains in your head. And one knew that I'd gone on a train up Ash Street, which was a dead-end street, and the other half of my brain knew that's impossible. There is no train station there. And it wasn't until I started opening up more to my contact that I realised what had happened.
Wow. And your aim is to help dissipate the fear and the disinformation that surrounds the subject of ET contact. And particularly, I would say, the Greys too, because, you know, everyone thinks that the Greys are bad. They're the ones that are going to come along and take you off and do all kinds of things to you and hurt you. And yet you say in your new book, ET Presence, that's not true.
No, there's so much disinformation. The Greys and other ETs, there are a number of different ETs coming here at the moment. Because planet Earth is undergoing a consciousness shift, we're shifting from fourth world to fifth world conscious awareness, and this means opening our conscious minds up to much more awareness. And what this involves is overcoming fear barriers. And so in a way, the greys are testers of souls, and the fact that they look so different is part of the test, to be able to accept another being that looks so different. Because, I mean, let's face it, at the moment, a lot of humans can't accept someone who's just living in a different country or a different culture or religion.
Yeah. Or wearing a different coloured skin.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
This is a huge barrier that's holding this plane humanity back.
Mm.
And that's why the ETs are here trying to help us to move past this.
Well, we will talk more about this after we've dealt with your 10 books. So, first of all, let's move over to those. And tell me how, what role books have played in your life.
Oh, look, absolutely huge, Sandy. I'm not a real extrovert type person. I'm a bit of an introvert. And whenever I'm feeling stressed over anything, I reach for a book. And I have ever since I was a small child. Both my parents were readers. We had a big library at home. And my dad encouraged me to read. I hated school, but the thing that got me there was his words of, once you learn to read, you've got to go to school to learn to read. Once you learn to read, you can read any book you want. And this is what spurred me on to education.
So what kind of books were you drawn to?
As a young person, like in my teens, I absolutely loved animal stories. Hence, I read Gerald Durrell's books and his life in Corfu, where he collected animals. He wanted to be an entomologist, and so did I. Mm. So I totally relate to him going off and collecting things, and a scientist who became very good friends with him and helped him and taught him so much. I love the idea of living in Corfu. You know, that was my dream, to go somewhere like that, which I never have. But I just love that, and I loved his sense of humour. His sense of humour was brilliant, and I know that this is something that I've carried through into my writing, the same sense of humour that he used in his books.
So the first book on your list, we shouldn't be surprised, it's actually two books. It's The Watchers 1 and The Watchers 2, Exploring Yes. UFOs and the Near-Death Experience by Raymond Fowler, published in 1995. Do you remember when you read this book?
Oh, look, it wouldn't have been that long after it was published, because I was opening up to my ET contact in 1983. I had a very profound experience where I was opening up and realised my closeness to the Greys. I realised they were family. And I'd read a couple of books up until then that portrayed them as being rather negative. And this worried me, because I thought to myself, well, I'm one of them. Well, I feel a real close connection. I'm not negative. I don't want to hurt anybody. I wouldn't abduct anyone. I mean, I can't stand to see anyone being made afraid or being hurt. So I was having a lot of trouble getting my head around this. And when this book by Raymond Fowler, The Watchers, came into my hands, he was a hypnotist, I think, as well as an author. He was the one who hypnotised Betty Luca, or Andreasen if she was back then. And he drew out a side of her contact experiences that hadn't come across in the other books that I'd read, in that he made her look a bit more deeply. And he said, yes, okay, you see that as something frightening, but look into it more deeply. And he helped her to come to an understanding that, no, it wasn't really bad. It was something that had to be done, just like we go to a doctor. You might feel pain, but you've got to go for your healing. And he helped Betty to open up to that. And the other thing, I was convent educated, so, you know, I was a good Christian, and Betty Andreasen was as well. And the fact that she was able to accept this contact from that perspective helped me a lot.
Yeah. And did your family know about this? Your human family?
Yeah, my husband, yes, totally. He's
but
fine
not your
with
parents.
It.
Not your parents.
Well, my parents passed away when I was quite young. My mum actually passed away when I was 22, so I wasn't consciously aware then. And my dad passed away when I was about 35. And I had opened up to it by then, but I just never really talked about it with him much. I could see he wasn't really, he was a very easygoing person, but he wouldn't get really interested in it. He was more scientifically minded. I've spoken about it with my brother, who has now passed away, but he was sort of open to it, but not really. He was a science teacher, so not into this sort of thing. But the main one's my husband and my husband's family. They're all okay with it.
Mm. Well, book number two is a classic, Communion, A True Story by Whitney Strieber, published in 1987.
Yes. Well, this is actually the first book that I read before I read Ray Fowler's book. I read Communion, and this book was really good in that it assured me that I wasn't going crazy, because when you start opening up to these experiences and have conscious contact, you start to think that maybe it's something in my brain. You know, maybe I've got some mental health issue. And what I loved about Whitley's book was he put himself through a whole list of mental health tests, psychiatric tests, etc., and all of these proved that he was quite normal. So that was like, whew, thank goodness for that. I couldn't relate to his fear. This was one of the things that put me off his book, his fear, but I think he's worked his way through that. And this is why I was rather glad that I read Betty Andreasen's story after Whitley Strieber's, because she put a whole new light on it.
The cover, obviously, of Whitley's book is quite iconic now. Is that a true representation of, I'm assuming, greys?
Yes, it's very close. Not all greys look exactly alike. I mean, there is differences. There's about 30 different grey cultures, but it's a fairly sort of good consummate picture of one. And quite interesting, I sat in a meditation group quite some years later, and my meditation teacher was a psychic artist, and she drew a picture of me from a past life. And when I saw it, I thought, well, that looks a bit strange. She looks a bit like, you know, slightly fairy-like. And I happened to have it on my dressing table when I got hold of Whitley Strieber's book. And I just happened to glance and saw the two together. And I thought, my goodness, that looks so much like the face on Whitley Strieber's book. And this was sort of what really clicked in my mind. Okay, you really do have a connection with the greys, because there's a similarity there.
Hmm. The third book, this is, the first time I've seen this book on anybody's list. It's one that I read a long time ago, The Third Eye by Lobsang Rampal, published in 1958.
Yes, Sandy. That was actually a book that I read before I had even opened up to all this stuff. As I said before, I was convent educated and I was very religious. I was a real good Catholic. I used to go to Mass every Sunday, but I always felt there was something missing because I'd had past life memories from when I was young. So I was aware of reincarnation. Of course, the church didn't teach that. So I tried a few other religions on the side to see if I could find my answers anywhere else, and I didn't. So I came back to Catholicism. But when I got hold of Lobsang Rampa's book, and read all his Buddhist teachings, things really started to fall into place. And I think it was that book that opened me up, again, to be able to accept the ET connection, because it answered all these questions that had sort of been at the back of my mind ever since childhood. What can I remember? You know, what are these lives I can remember?
There has been some controversy over him over the years. You know, people have said that it was all a fake. Know, and that he was living this normal life. And I think, if my memory serves me right, he actually wrote a book later on about being a walk-in,
yes,
yeah, and living a different kind of life than a Tibetan monk.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to wonder, well, was that just an excuse because he was getting a lot of flack, or is that the truth?
I think it's the truth. I actually suspect that he might have been an ET trying to get his information across. So the Tibetan monk thing might have been a bit of a cover there, because, I mean, if he'd come out of those days and said he was an ET, he would have been just totally dismissed. Yeah. That's the feeling I get. The walk-in experience, I've had one myself. So, yes, I totally understand what he's talking about there. But yes, that's the feeling I get. He was an ET teacher, just paving the way for others like myself who are coming here and speaking out openly.
Mm. Book number four, Cosmic Voyage, a scientific discovery of extraterrestrials visiting Earth, which was published in 1996, and Cosmic Explorers, Scientific Remote Viewing, Extraterrestrials, and A Message for Mankind, 1999. And I don't think we have an author listed for this one.
Oh, it's Courtney. Yes, 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 Courtney Brown.
Okay, that's my mistake then, my mistake. So tell us about these two books. When did they come into your life and what was the impact they had?
Oh, look, they were huge. Again, this, I was still wrestling a little bit with the blended soul thing, the grey thing, because everything I've read seemed to say stuff about the greys, and oh, they were evil, they were negative, they were abducted people. And when I read Courtney Brown's book, and the funny thing is, I know that it's upstairs, as I call them, who guided me to buy his first book. I actually bought it for my nephew, who was a little bit interested in this stuff, and I started reading it myself. And I thought, oh, no, I can't give this away. I've got to keep it. Courtney Brown was involved in remote viewing. I think he was with the military, but certainly the remote viewing that the military uses, which is a lot more reliable than psychic stuff. I mean, I'm not putting psychic viewing down, but remote viewing is more, it's how can I say, it's controlled. There's a controller behind it all the time, making sure that it's accurate. And the information that he brought through on the greys was exactly what I had been given myself. So it just linked in with my understanding. And again, what I'd been given, I was thinking, oh, is it right? Isn't it right? You never know quite whether to trust yourself. I always test everything I'm given. I don't like to just jump in and believe everything that I pick up or read. And so I really appreciated reading his book on the remote viewing exercises that they did on the greys that absolutely was in line with everything that I understood.
Hmm.
So that meant a lot.
Yeah. Book number five. Now, this is one that I think, you know, will get a lot of interest from people because it's by Professor John Mack. It is Abduction, Human Encounters with Aliens. And he was the professor of psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School and a Pulitzer Prize winning biographer as well.
Yes.
He published this
in
1994.
Yes, yes. Again, like Courtney Brown's books, it gave me confirmation. And again, it proved that I wasn't nutty myself because he was a psychiatrist. And he dealt with a number of people like myself who were having contact. And he was totally open to it. I actually contacted him and I got a very nice friendly letter back. Well, I wasn't emailing in those days. We were letter writing.
Good old fashioned.
The old-fashioned pen and paper. And, yes, he gave me a lot of confidence. What these books have done, they've given me the confidence to come out and speak. There was no way I would have got out and spoken like this back then. Even talking about it now, I feel my throat starting to tighten up. And that's a bit of a grey thing as well, because they're not real good with verbal speech. But yes, all these books gave me confidence that yes, what I was picking up was correct, and yes, you need to talk about it. You need to speak out.
Did he not offer to interview you or work with you?
No, he didn't. No, he just wrote me a friendly letter back. I think he'd had a second book published, and he tried to, you know, get me by that, which I didn't get around to. But no, he just thanked me for contacting him. I think he just appreciated the feedback.
Well, book number six is Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge by Dr. Stephen Greer, published in 2006.
Yes. And another book that helped me to understand that, yes, what I was getting through was absolutely right. By the time I read that book, I was very aware of a group that I write about in my third book, Extraterrestrial Presence on Earth. I call them the Reptarian Controllers. They're like a shadow government down here who are absolutely against any ET contact, but they're the ones who are behind all the demonising disinformation on the Greys. And Stephen Greer came out and spoke very, very openly about this. He spoke about what he refers to as the PLFs, the Programmed Life Forms, which are they're manufactured Greys made right here on Earth. And these are used in the military abductions, the MyLabs. And a lot of people have had very, very nasty experiences with these ones. They'll appear during a so-called abduction, which is a fake abduction. And I think they're responsible for putting a lot of the negative implants into people. But they're not correct. No, they're not genuine Greys.
So when you say programmed life forms, what does that actually mean? Are they robots?
Sort of, bio-robots. As far as I understand, they've taken this negative group down here, controllers, shadow government, cabal, whatever you want to call them, have actually taken genetic material from the bodies of the genuine Greys who've died in crash ships, and they've actually manufactured these life forms and put implants in them to control them. Now, I know this is really, really off the planet, excuse my pun, which is why I was so pleased when Stephen Greer came out and spoke about this openly. And he's spoken to so many people and had so much information given to him on this.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. So when you said, you did not say reptilians, you said reptarians, is that correct?
Yes.
What is the difference?
Okay, this is the real key thing. The Reptarians are an ancient Earth human race that were created at the time of the dinosaurs. What people forget is the dinosaurs were on Earth for about 165 million years. Modern man has been around for about 60,000 to 100,000 years. So the dinosaurs had a heck of a lot more time and opportunity to evolve, some of them, into a human race. Just the same as we've evolved from primates, the Reptarians evolved from dinosaurs. It was a biped dinosaur. And they also had off-planet help with the Draconians, who were the ones who initially seeded them here. And so they had very, very a high level of technology, including space travel. And this is how they were able to put themselves off as the god of the Old Testament. They were able to put on that persona.
Yahweh.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And what I don't, why I use the word reptilian, I really want to differentiate them from the reptilians, because most of the reptilians, the off-planet ones who are coming here, are fine. I know several of them, and they're lovely people. I know of one who's a heart doctor, heart specialist, lovely, lovely, kind man. They're very much into healing and protection. The Reptarians, no, they are negative.
Well, a lot of people, you know, hear that the reptilians are really awful, and they look at the elite as being reptilians. They, you know, people used to say Queen Elizabeth II was one. The entire royal family are reptilians, you know. So there's a lot of mixed messages.
Yes, that's right. That's right. The ones like that, again, I don't like to make it too polarised. I mean, some aren't that bad. Some are really awful. But again, I use the term Reptarian because they're from down here. They're not off planet. And that's really an important point.
But do you recognise all of these different types, you know, when you come across them? Or, you know, are there giveaways?
Yes, I can feel their energy.
Yeah.
I'm very much into feeling people's energy. I do it with the politicians down here and the royal family and everyone. Everyone I meet, I feel into their energy. I can feel their aura. And I trust that. I've learned to trust it.
Yeah. Well, book number 7 is Light at the End of the Tunnel, A Survival Plan for the Human Species by ex-Defence Minister of Canada, the Honourable Paul Hellyer.
Yes. Again, so much confirmation. His book reminded me a little bit of Stephen Greer's in that he went into a huge amount of detail with the shadow government, spoke about that. Having been an ex-Defence Minister of Canada, he was very aware of the ET presence, which back then all the military were denying. I notice they're starting to come out of the closet a bit now, but they were really denying it back then. And it's interesting because I contacted him to quote from his book in my third book, E.T. Presence on Earth, and he got back to me with absolute, you know, yes, he was absolutely happy, permission to do that. And when I got the book published, I sent a copy to him, and he was going to take part out of my book for the next book he was writing. I don't know if he ever did, but yes, very, very nice man. I'm sorry to see that he's passed away.
Naturally.
I have to wonder. I don't know much about his death. I don't know how he passed away. He would have been getting on in years, so it could have been, but yeah, you never know.
One never knows. So we're going to take a short break now, Judy. You're listening to the No BS Spiritual Book Club, and sharing the 10 books that had the biggest influence on her life journey today is Judy Carroll. We'll be back with more of Judy's story and her 10 best spiritual books after this break.
Om Times TV.
Maya Angelou once said that there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and when I'm not hosting Om Times Media's flagship radio show, What Is Going On, and the No BS Spiritual Book Club, I help people share their untold stories. Books are my life, my joy, and my passion, and there is no greater reward than helping aspiring writers get their books out of their heads and into the hands of those who are waiting to read them. If you feel that you have a book in you but don't know where to begin, visit sedgbeer.com, click on the Work With Me tab, and find out how my experience helping others tell their stories might be just what you've been looking for. That's sedgbeer.com, sedgbeer.com.
Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself. Invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's 1 in 5 daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back. Judy, book number 8, Proof of Heaven by Eben Alexander, published in 2012. This is something different than the others. So what was it about this book that made you put it on your 10 best list?
Oh, look, Proof of an Afterlife by a very, very highly respected neurosurgeon. This is so important. People have so much trouble accepting the fact that we aren't our body. Our body is just a physical vehicle. It's like a car. We ourselves are consciousness, which is soul. So when we die, the soul leaves the body, but that's not the end. We're an eternal soul. And this book by Eben Alexander, and this amazing near-death experience he had, I think he was in a coma for about a week or something, and it provides wonderful, wonderful proof that, again, this teaching that I've received from the Greys about the fact of we're an eternal soul, it just proved it beyond doubt. I'm one of these people, I like proof.
Well, yes. I mean, me too. Me too.
Yeah.
So reincarnation then is something that is universal.
Exactly.
It's not just, you know, humans who...
Yes. No. And taking reincarnation out of church teachings was, to me, that was the original sin. Because an acknowledgement of reincarnation helps us to open up to oneness. The fact that we've been Asian, we've been Australian, we've been English, we've been American, we've been a Muslim, we've been a Christian, we've been a Jew, all these different experiences we've all had helps us to empathise with others and bring us back to oneness, which is where we need to be if we're going to be cosmic citizens.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yes, we really do need that in the world as it is today.
Absolutely.
So book number nine, The Happiest Refugee. Now, is this Arne Do or Arne Doe?
Arne
Doe.
Arne Doe.
This was published in 2010, and it's the extraordinary true story of a boy's journey from starvation at sea to becoming one of Australia's best-loved comedians.
Yes, yes. I love books like this. I love autobiographies, and particularly if there's humour involved, because sometimes I just want to get right away from all the ET stuff into something completely different. I'm up to here with ET stuff, so I need something different. Arne Doe is the most beautiful soul. As you just said, he came with his family as a refugee on a refugee boat from Vietnam. They underwent incredible dangers, including being boarded by pirates, which his younger brother, they picked the baby up and threatened to throw him overboard, but thank goodness they didn't. Arne Doe has gone on to become one of our best comedians, very well known on TV, and he's also a very, very talented artist. He draws portraits, which are just out of this world. The younger brother, who was almost thrown overboard by the pirates, was voted Young Australian of the Year some years ago. So what this family has contributed to Australia is just, you know, beyond words. And the fact that he's such a very beautiful person as well. When he does portraits, what he does, his show on TV, he has a well-known personality, TV personality, one occasion he had a priest or a political figure, and as he draws their portrait, he gets them to tell their life story, and it's just beautiful watching. And they don't show you what he's drawing. He seems to be slapping it on with a spatula thing. There's no brushes involved, just slapping this paint on. And at the end, they turn the portrait around, and he has captured that person's soul. Mm. It's just the most amazing art. So he sort of changed now from being a comedian to being an artist. And I think lately now, I think he's also written a children's book. I'm not sure the name of it, but I think now he's got into writing. So, you know, a very, very talented man. And his whole family just contributed so much to Australia. And this is why it upsets me when I hear about refugees being treated badly. Because these poor people, they don't want to leave their homeland, you know.
Yeah.
It's sad.
So book number 10 is by one of our frequent guests on my other show, What Is Going On. It is The Eden Conspiracy by Paul Wallace, published just last year. We recently did an interview on that. We've done interviews on all of Paul's books. So it's nice to see. In fact, I should tell you that I sent him a copy of what you said, and he's gone on Facebook and shared it with people. He was really by what you
said. That's what I saw. Yeah, God love him.
Yes.
Oh, no. That book, again, it was just a real eye-opener for me because, again, I've known this for quite a long time, that the God of the Old Testament isn't what religion portrays, and that so much disinformation has been put out through the Old Testament, which is what's caused religion to move away from love. I mean, religion, love should be the bottom line of religion, but it becomes so judgmental, and so fearful this God threatening people with hellfire and things like that. That's not what religion is about. And again, to have somebody like even Alexander the neurosurgeon, to have a priest and a student of the Bible coming out and speaking about this. And as he said in his book, a lot of priests and ministers and reverends are starting to become suspicious of this, but they can't bring it up with their congregations because, you know, they're going to lose their job. Because people sort of hold on. I understand that people do need a religion or spirituality of some sort. It's something that humans need. But as I say, providing it's based on love, but too much of it isn't. Too much of it is too judgmental and fearful. So I really appreciated that Paul put this out in this book.
Paul, you mentioned in your write-up about it, about the Saurians, and I don't know much about them. Tell me about the Saurians.
Yeah, the Saurians are the dinosaurs. That's just another word for the dinosaurs. So this is where the Reptarians come into the picture, who were created or bioengineered out of a biped dinosaur or Saurian, means, you know, dinosaurs on Earth. I know Paul approaches it from it being a totally extraterrestrial thing, but from my understanding there's both. And the other thing is planet Earth is very polarized, and so even the so-called God of the Old Testament was very polarized. He did good things and bad things, because it wasn't just one being involved. I mean, God's not a being, God's an energy. So we had the negative Reptarians down here who had actually hijacked the planet, and then you had more positive ETs coming in trying to, you know, help humans to become free of what was going on. And this is still happening.
Yeah. So what do you think about disclosure? You know, we've supposedly had it, but nobody's really confirmed it. Do you think that this is something that we can expect to see soon?
Look, I actually think the disclosure, people are going to bring it about themselves. I don't know whether the military ever will, but at the same time, there's certainly been moves. I don't know if you caught the wonderful press conference that Stephen Greer did quite a while back. Many of the top people in the military, including retired military people, are coming out and speaking honestly and saying, yes, we have had contact with ETs. A fellow by the name of Clifford Stone, Sergeant Clifford Stone, wrote a book entitled Eyes Only. I didn't include this in my list because I have so many, but he actually dealt with ETs and he actually helped one to escape. He was on the team, it was like a retrieval team, who used to go out when a ship crashed, they'd go out and retrieve the ship and retrieve the bodies and any living beings. And he was involved in that. He was a beautiful soul. So they are starting to come out about it. So who knows?
So that's your 10 best books. I want to learn a bit more about you now. You've written several books. Cosmic Spirituality, Blending Religion and Science in Oneness from an Off-Planet Perspective. I mean, that sounds like a really interesting one. Human by Day, Zeta by Night, A Dramatic Account of Greys Incarnating as Humans. And the Zeta Message, Connecting All Beings in Oneness. Now, you've been publishing these books for what, 15
years? Oh, my goodness. So I think Human by Day, Zeta by Night, and the Zeta Message came out in about 2011.
Right. Okay. So that's about 13 years ago. And the ET Presence on Earth, the history, is that your latest book?
The third latest. Cosmic Spirituality was written after that, and another one, An Interview with an Alien, was written after that. But they're both smaller books. They're just available as ebooks. But Extraterrestrial Presence on Earth, that was written in or published in 2018. And that's the one where I really speak out about the Reptarians and, you know, how they got on Earth and how they hijacked the planet. I was actually asked by the ET family to write this. we had a meeting up on the ship. It was quite funny because my other two books, Human by Day, Zeta by Night, and The Zeta Message, had only just been published and released in 2011. So I was like, oh, thank goodness. And then at the end of 2011, in November, they held a meeting up on the ship asking for volunteers to speak out about the hijacking of the planet by the Reptarians. And I was sort of hiding behind a couple of tall people trying to, you know, get out of it because I'd just finished writing. I didn't want to do any more. So, of course, somebody pushed me forward. Judy, why don't you write another book? You've had books published. So I got dropped in the deep end. And that was the result of that meeting, is Extraterrestrial Presence on Earth, Lessons in History, speaking about the ET's contact on Earth, yes, right way back. And six different humanoid species that have been bioengineered down here. So there's been six Genesis events, and one of them was the Reptarians, of course, who were still around.
Mm. And you write in that book about the number of times that, you know, the Zetas have tried to come here to warn, you know, to help, and have been deflected. Yes. And so now they're coming in through a different portal, if you like. They're coming in like you, as human, and how easy is that?
It's not easy. Not easy, because at first when you start becoming conscious of it, you question it, you know, which is why all these books have been so helpful, to get this confirmation. But always at the back of your mind, you know it's true, but it's something that it is hard to accept consciously. The Greys taught us quite a long time ago about what they call the human ladder. And what that is, it's basically the soul's journey through 10 levels of expanding conscious awareness, from level 1 through to level 10. And most of us down here on planet Earth, and that's including ETs like myself who are in human form, we can only access 10% of our potential consciousness. Now, this isn't brain power, it's consciousness, a conscious awareness. And as we evolve up the ladder over many, many, many lives, more and more opens up. So it's level 2 is 20%, level 3, 30%. And this is what self-realization is all about. So those of us who are working down here, still, because of our Earth human physical brain, we can still only access about 10%, maybe a little bit more. We're aware of more stuff when we're up there. Like when I'm working up on the ship as a Grey, I'm aware of so much more. But when I come back here, it's really hard to bring it with me. And so we understand the difficulties that Earth humans are up against, because this is what the planetary shift is all about, is opening up more conscious awareness. So being limited ourselves, we understand the difficulties involved. So we're just trying to introduce a little bit more understanding on this, helping people to understand about energy and the fact that we're an energy body, we're not a physical form, things like that. So that's our job down here. And the other difficulty is, with Greys, we generally communicate telepathically, and Earth humans can't pick up on it. So we need to be here in physical form to be able to speak out.
Is it challenging to know that you can access so much more when you're not on the planet, and then to have to come back and have none of that available to you?
It is
frustrating.
Very frustrating. Yeah.
So I want to know how, you know, people, there are people who have contact and there are people who never have contact. And why? Why is that? Why, you know, why is it that the ones that have contact actually want it, desire it, call it in, or have some kind of cosmic, you know, lineage that wants to communicate with them?
Okay, we all have cosmic lineage. Every Earth human has ET genetics in them. Some have a little bit more than others. We also operate through free will. So whether we're going to have contact or not is a free will choice. It's a pre-birth free will choice that we make. If we're ready, because the contact with ETs is helping us to step up to that next level of conscious awareness. Some are ready for it, some aren't. Some don't want to. They're happy to stay down here, totally focused on physicality. So it's the ones who have made that choice that they want to move to that more conscious level are the ones who are having contact. The other thing is there's way more contact going on than people realise, because a lot of people who just have a real good interest in the subject, but they'll contact me and they say, oh, how can I get contact? I'm not having contact. I'd love to have contact. And as I will say, you are having contact. If you have that interest and desire, you're having it, but it's just you're not bringing back the conscious recall.
Right. So tell me, Cosmic Consciousness, the book that you mentioned, what is that about?
Okay, what is in that book, what I'm doing, I'm trying to bring religion and science together, because that way we overcome the superstition and fear of religion and we bring the sacredness back into science. And in actual fact, on all the higher planetary cultures, the two work absolutely hand in hand, because what spiritual evolvement is about speeding up our molecular system. It's a molecular thing. I liken it to ice, water, and steam. You have a block of ice, it vibrates at a certain frequency. You add heat to that ice, bring the heat in, it melts into water, which vibrates at a higher frequency. Water is a finer substance than ice. Keep heating it, and it becomes steam, which is a finer substance again. And this is basically what's happening to humanity. People are talking about more light coming in. We've just done a podcast on this. I speak on a podcast channel, and I use this analogy in the podcast. This is what the more light coming in is actually causing people's vibrational frequency to come up. And so, therefore, we're spiritually evolving.
Tell me what you know about water. It's quite a hot topic at the moment.
Well, I do know that the oceans are, well, everything is multidimensional. So there are multidimensions within water. And it's very interesting, the work that gentleman, Emoto, the Japanese.
Yes,
looking at a drop of water. So, yes, water has consciousness. That's the bottom line. Because it's part of nature, everything in nature has consciousness.
Yeah, but water seems to be, you know, seems to have more going for it, or at least people are more interested.
Yes, it can
pick
up more. I think it's more higher consciousness, so it can pick up the vibes around it, and those vibes are then registered through the vibrational frequency of that water.
Can it broadcast?
Look, I would say it would be able to. I must admit, I've never really gone into this very much, but I would say it would be able to.
Because there is the Australian lady, Vida Austin, that a lot of people have been watching on YouTube, and she's kind of, you know, continued and moved on with Masaru Emoto's work.
Okay.
And seeing the patterns, you know, in water and ice and all sorts.
Right. Because I do know water is very cleansing, and I'm not just talking about the physical level here. It's cleansing on a spiritual level as well.
I think there's more to water than we think, and it's something that we really don't know much about. In the same way that people talk about there being so much more to blood than we think.
Look, there's more to everything than we realise. I remember when I was learning Tai Chi, my teacher saying to me, Tai Chi is about this deep, but it's about that wide. And that applies with everything. Because, again, this is something people need to understand. We live in a multidimensional reality, and we are multidimensional ourselves. Going back to the human ladder I spoke about before, we have a part of ourselves on every level of the ladder, going right up to, you know, the angelic kingdom, right up the top. And so in many, many cases, when we have an ET or a spirit guide or whatever visiting us, it's a higher part of our own soul.
Mm.
And all this is right here, right now.
Yes. Yeah. So tell me why other beings, I'll call them other beings, seem to be so keen for us to accelerate our growth What is the purpose of that? What is the purpose behind that?
Yes, it goes back to oneness. The actual cosmic truth is everything is in oneness. So when one little tiny planetary culture is sort of falling off the ladder, everyone wants to come and help them back on, because by them, by Earth plane humanity expanding to higher conscious awareness, helps the whole universe. So it's not
are
just...
Are we falling off the ladder?
We are, because of the fact of the reptilian controllers who have blocked our spiritual awareness and growth. That's the hijacking of the planet that I talk about in my ET Presence book. One of the great teachers likened it to the universe being like a fast-flowing stream, and planet Earth having been pushed off into a stagnant pool at the side.
Was there a time here when we were more evolved than we seem to be today?
Well, there's been a number of human races on Earth, yes, and some have been more evolved. And as far as I understand, Earth plane humanity was starting to be brought back in with help from the ETs, but then there was the interference that they speak about in the Bible as the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And that was reptilians who interfered with our DNA, which pulled us back down again. And this is why a lot of people who are taken up on the ships, actually, if they're taken for DNA enhancement and repair, because the 10% consciousness that we're able to access down here is intrinsically linked in with about the 10% of DNA that is active. And scientists call the rest junk DNA. It's not. It's of different dimensions, multidimensional.
So let's just say that everybody is successful in getting us back on this ladder. What then?
Well, we just keep evolving. There is no, it's eternal. There's no end to it. We are evolving
at a comparable pace, keeping pace with others rather than lagging behind.
Yes. And actually, it's a return to God energy, which is 100% consciousness. And this is where we get the omnipresence and the omniscience of what they refer to as God. It's just total open consciousness. Total conscious awareness.
And then we just keep evolving.
Just keep.
And we continue to have incarnations.
Yeah.
As human beings on this planet or anywhere.
Can do anywhere. Yeah, we evolved or incarnate where we need to be.
And are there other planets that are falling off the ladder too?
There have been. There'd be other level one planets that are still struggling. But I must admit, several of the greys have said planet Earth's one of the hardest in the whole universe to work with.
One of the hardest?
One of the hardest, yeah.
Hardest to evolve?
To evolve, yeah, to get people to open up.
Why is that?
Because of the distractions that the reptilian controllers have placed upon us.
Wow.
A lot of people, they're actually just totally, all they want is to be down here in physical form. They're not interested in anything else. You start to try and talk to some people about spirituality and you just see this veil come down. They're just not interested.
I read an article the other day that said, somebody said around 50% of the population are actually not even alive. You know, they're like dead men walking. And they have no, you know, interest in raising their consciousness. You know, they don't even know about that's possible.
Absolutely. Again, as I speak about in the ET Presence book, the reptilian controllers are behind art. They're behind modern pop music, which in many cases has negative energy in it that it incites anger in people instead of love. They're behind the fashion industry. They're behind the entertainment industry. All these movies coming out of Hollywood, they're behind everything. And all these things act as distractions for people away from spiritual growth. They're more interested in, if I got my eyeshadow on right, or what do people think of this dress I've got on? You know, this is their whole life. Sports, another thing. I mean, all these things have their positive side. Planet Earth's very polarised. But the negative side is they all act as distractions.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel confident that you are achieving your aim of dispelling some of the, you know, the fear and the anxiety and the misunderstandings?
I think so. I hope so. I get lovely feedback from people. A friend of mine co-hosts a podcast. We put a podcast out. We try and do it every week. And we get lovely, lovely feedback from people. We've got over 1,000 subscribers now. So, yeah, we'll get good feedback from that. I've had good feedback from my books. So, yeah, I think we're getting there.
So could you put a, you know, a number on, if you had to predict, how long it's going to take for us to, you know, get back on that ladder?
Yeah.
Are we looking at decades? Are we looking at, you know, hundreds of years?
Okay, the ETs will never predict anything like that because of the fact that there's free will down here. So it's up to humanity themselves.
Good answer. And
some will, some won't. Some will get on it next week, and others 100 years, they're still not on it.
Yeah, we all have to take responsibility, don't we?
We all have to take responsibility, and it's an individual choice.
Judy, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Sandy. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for adding your 10 best spiritual books to our archive as well.
Great.
So Judy Carroll's 10 best list can be found at the NoBSSpiritualBookClub.com, and you can learn more about her work and her books at ufograyinfo.com. And for videos, visit youtube.com/TheZetaMessage. This show is also available as a free downloadable podcast at ontimes.com, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Audible, and all the major podcast platforms. So if you like to listen rather than view, you can listen on the go. That's it for this week. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. I'll be back at the same time next week with another 10 best interview for the No BS Spiritual Book Club. Till then, it's goodbye from me, and thank you again to Judy Carroll.